Blog Talk Radio.
Own your life.
What's up? I'm Tito Ortiz.
This is Rob Van Dam.
Hi, this is Mark Merrill.
Hi, my name is Ray Lloyd, Glacier in World Championship Wrestling.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and I just want to say that DDP's yoga pretty much changed my life.
I was 37 years old, and basically I was just taking a pass on everything and letting life pass me by.
You got to get your hands right.
Diamond Cutter, take it back. Bring your arms out to a T. Clench your fist. Hulk it up. Woo!
Cause it's time. It's your time.
I feel better now at 40 than I ever have my entire life. And that's not just a cliche, it's the truth. So thank you.
I am stronger now. I'm going to be 52 years old. I'm stronger now than I've ever been in my entire life. It's absolutely incredible.
DDP Yoga changed my life.
And it will change yours.
DDP Yoga. It ain't your mama's yoga.
Ah! High five.
Welcome to DDP Radio. It's funny because right there at the end, right as my music was on, one of my buddies called in on my phone, so I had to flip over. Dude, I'm doing my show right now. I gotta go. Boom. And came back on. So welcome to the show. I got my buddy Robert on here, who is the man who pulls everything together, along with my buddy Steve, for all of the DDP Yoga, Diamond Dallas page, our Facebooks, all our stuff. Robert, how you doing tonight, bro?
Doing good, man. Doing good. You know, hanging in there with everything we're doing.
Well, let me ask you something, man. I gotta put this out there, because I know when we first started, you do the workout occasionally and stuff. But in the last couple of months, you've really stepped it up, man. Tell people what you've been doing, because I know you've been really hitting this thing. What have you been doing the last couple of weeks?
Well, I started picking it up, doing like energy into Fat Burner and then into Red Hot Core or something like that. And because of Steve Anderson calling up and laying the gauntlet down with his double black diamond challenge, that really stepped it up. So you know, I'm usually doing about 2-3 workouts a day.
How many?
2 or 3, usually.
And you can mix them like that. That's what's really cool about this workout. I start you off really easy with, the 25-minute energy workout, and then take you to Fat Burner, which is like 25 minutes. But as you progress and as you get stronger you feel stronger, you get more limber, you feel younger, then you can turn both of those 25-minute workouts into like a 40-minute workout. And if you throw, the Red Hot Core at the end, that's another 12 minutes, and then you got a 50-minute-plus workout, and that's awesome. And that's just 3 of the 10. And I got to put it out there to Steve, because that guy, Steve Anderson's his last name, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's down about – last time I talked to him, he's down about 55 pounds, maybe 60. I'm not sure. But his goal's like – I didn't want to say it's close to 100. And he said he was doing my – DDP Extreme workout, which I call the Extreme Psycho workout, and I thought he was kidding, because he said he was doing like the Extreme workout, and I want to say he threw a double back diamond in there, which is a 70-minute workout, the Extreme 60. Then he was ending with Red Hot 4. I mean, first of all, when I do that Extreme workout, it's a son of a bitch, man, because I do a version of it. I never do the same stuff. But I do a version of those workouts, and always making it different. And that's one of the things this last week, I threw out a challenge to do the Diamond Cutter, which is a 50-minute workout, into the Red Hot Core, which is, you could always end up with that workout at the end, because it takes you down to the mat and the floor. But I put out a challenge to people out there, and I've got a lot of response back, but I don't know where people had to, sign in for that, Robert, because if anybody did that 4 of the last 7 days, they were going to get to do the live workout with me. Of course, isn't just people who are listening out on the air here. They had to be a part of Team DDP Yoga, which you can find Team DDP Yoga at teamddpyoga.com. All right, Weber's got a little background. Okay, went away. Weber did that. That's cool. Did I come in all the way through that, Robert, or did I...
Yeah, you skipped out for just a second, but yeah.
Yeah, I can feel that when it does on my thing, and I think it's just because my voice has a different octave and it shuts off my little headset. I got to really invest in a much better one. Team DDP, I'm at teamddpyoga.com. I know I got it that time.
Yes.
And if you got the Diamond Cutter and the Red Hot Core four times this week, you will qualify for the first time I'm going to do live streaming. And we're going to bring that live streaming to the for the members of Team DDP Yoga. And my other host over here, Sparky, did you get those in this week or what? What'd you do?
I was doing a little bit of the Red Hot Core Challenge and mixing it up myself.
Okay, well, you qualify anyway just because you... I just want to make sure people can do that because I don't want people to come in and do the workout that are used to doing like energy or fat burner or one of the easier workouts. I don't want them to come to this and go, man, that was way too hard, because I'll tell you right now, it's going to be really challenging. So make sure, Robert, stick us a post up there as a blog in the forum section there and throw it up there, say, who actually qualified, because we're going to sort of give people a pass on this one because our coordination sucked and we should have had something up on the forum because I went looking for it. I thought we talked about that and I thought it was up there, but I couldn't find the damn thing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Anybody who...
Yeah, it was up there last week. Yeah, it was under... If you go to blogs and you look under featured blog, it's right there. But we've got several people who are really doing it and... keeping track of it, like Eric Phillips, Ron Hyatt.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of them finished it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, those guys will be getting, I guess, an email or a call from Robert, and then we'll set it up. And this whole streaming thing, this is where I want to go eventually. I want to go to where, you know, it's like a monthly thing, and, you know, you just pay the monthly big, whatever it would be. People on Team DDP Yoga, of course, will get a much, you know, it'll be peanuts, pretty much. Because I want people to be able to work out with me live and do the DVDs and, you know, always be seeing how I'm changing this workout up so you never really get bored. So that's all going to be this week, so be looking for that. I didn't forget about you. We're going to be testing it this week, and we're going to do it sometime next week. I'm hoping to do it like Monday or Tuesday of next week. So I will keep you posted on that. And I did see Eric and a couple of people came by the Twitter, which is an amazing thing we have out there as far as communications. I just put up there on Twitter, at DDP Yoga. I just put up the number for people who are, you know, maybe listening to this on the Internet and want to you know, take off because they got to go somewhere. And you don't have like a radio, but you got a phone, so you could call 347-994-1216. That's 347-994-1216, and you could call in, listen to the show, or you can call in and get involved. I got a good buddy of mine and a guest fan I'm going to bring on in a couple more minutes here, and I'll give his introduction in 1 second. I do want to talk about something that I saw on. It's on Netflix right now, and I haven't seen the movie, but I've heard, like, amazing, you know, feedback from this flick. It's called Fat, Sick, and Almost Dead. And the guy really gets into, what Americans eat, you know, and from the numbers that he came up with, which are pretty well researched, 61% of America... eats, you know, it'll actually 61% of everything they eat is processed. And out that processed food, you know, if it's like, you know, soup or whatever the hell it is, I don't care, anything that's processed actually has like 10% of what the normal nutritional value would be to that. So instead of eating an apple, if you're going to drink apple juice, you're pretty much getting 10% of what the apple would give you. And he gets into juicing, and I'm a big juicer as far as you know, holding back the hands of time and actually feeling energized. I never drink coffee. I don't need it. You know, I don't need it because I drink a lot of organic juice. And he gets into this whole juice fast for like 60 days, and he gets in amazing shape, and he takes all these people on this journey with him. And I got to tell you, the five people that I've talked to have seen this movie, and all of them were big people. All of them started juicing like immediately. Out of the five, four of them are still doing it, and that's been a couple months now. So, and they're really dropping weight fast, and they're feeling so much better. So it's just another healthy way of, you know, because who cares if you're going to live to 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 if you're going to be a miserable son of a bitch. So that's the one thing I want to turn you on to. Fat, yep. Sick, almost dead. And the other one is a book I just picked up, and I got turned on to it by, God, who the hell turned it on to? I'm such an airhead sometimes. Wheat Belly, it's called. And, I know who turned me on to it. David Sherman. He is the one of the bus drivers for Miranda Lambert. You know, the amazing country western star who is married to Blake. What's his last name? He does The Voice. Awesome singer. You ever watch The Voice?
No.
No.
I'm working, man. What are you hanging on time for?
That's true. He lived in yoga. Sparky, you ever watch The Voice? What's his name? Blake something. I know someone's going, it's Blake. Well, whatever. He's an awesome awesome singer. And
Blake Shelton. There you go.
Blake Shelton. Thank you, bro. I hate when I do that, but I do it all the time. Normally I would have called him Shelton Blake or something. No. Okay, but hit the driver, David, who lost like 40 pounds from 350 to 310 he got down to, and then he hit that block. And I saw that he was doing really good, so I called him up, and we started talking, and I got him. I could tell by, you know, just looking at his pictures, he got a problem with that whole Wheat Belly thing. And I turned him on to it. He came through L.A. We got a workout together. 6 weeks later, he's down under 280 from 310, and his entire family is gone wheat-free, gluten-free. He's the one who turned me on to the Wheat Belly book, which is really cool. And some of the people that, you know, the people who really know me and know that I really am interactively available on Team DDP Yoga. I set that site up for all the, you know, the people who come through there. You don't even have to be doing, you know, DDP Yoga to do it. You know, most people will try it and put it into their workout schedule no matter what. But once they start doing it and seeing the results and people talking about it, but it's not like that. It's there to help people and motivate them and keep them focused on their goals. So just want to mention all that stuff. You might want to go see Fat, Sick, and Almost Dead. You can get it right at Netflix, and Netflix is an awesome deal because you can just get stuff directly zipped into your, if you got the DVD player that, you know, connects right into the internet onto your online, so you can get it, you know, shot right into you. And you might want to get that Wheat Belly book, especially if you got that weight around the stomach you can't get rid of, no matter. And the one thing that the guy really talked about in Wheat Belly, he talks about that people who are overweight are really active. They work out. They work out, you know, 3, 4, 5 days a week, but they just can't get rid of that belly fat. Like, stop being wheat and dairy. Guess what? It goes away.
The cool thing about that Wheat Belly book, Henry actually sent me the link for it. So if you go to DDP Yoga, teamddpyoga.com, and click on gluten-free and then articles, there's a link to at the book, and there's an excerpt from the book as well.
Awesome. Did Henry do that?
Yeah, Henry sent it over to me last week, I think.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Henry. I'm sure you're listening up there on the podcast or something. And that's another thing for yes.
I was going to say, on the for anybody who's juicing, you mentioned that. I just started juicing 2 weeks ago and just ditto to what you said about the energy. And if anybody's looking, like, that can be so expensive to get into. That Jack LaLanne, I picked that up for like $99.
Good call.
And my good God, it does everything for you. It's pretty quality for the money that you're paying. So if you're just getting into it, just wanted to throw that out. It shouldn't be a barrier for cost.
No, that's good. That's good, Spark, because that's the juicer I recommend to everyone, because it's economically friendly. And Jack, if anybody knew anything about living healthy and living right, it was Jack Lane, and he's without question, you know, the guy. I want to take his spot. That's my goal. I want to be 94 and sticking that foot over my head. You know, he was 90 and still pulling the boats. How did he do that? He ate really good. Now, he never drank, and, well, I can't really say that. But and speaking of drinking, and we're going to get to my guest in 1 minute here. Speaking of drinking and having a good time and working out, the 26th of July, it is finally solidified. I looked for a bunch of different places to do the DDP Yoga Retreat Extravaganza. I looked up for a lot of places. My sister Sally, you know, we checked so many of them out. And the deal, because it's all about the deal to me. Like, what can we get for the least amount of money? How can we get the most? And I'm going back to the same place I was last year because it was beautiful. It's it's in Mexico. It's about right near Tulum. It's the farthest part away from Mexico. So there's no Mexican cartel down there. There's no drugs, you know, people getting killed or any of that shit. This, if I wouldn't take people, I wouldn't go back to a place that was hostile. This is so cool. The place is absolutely gorgeous, and the price is unbelievable. And I'm going to get into a lot of detail on that next week. But you can go to, I'd like anybody who's listening, just go to Facebook and like DDP Yoga Facebook and like DDP Yoga Retreat. It's Extravaganza. We'll be putting up a site in the next couple of days. But if you go by and like that page, you'll see there's a bunch of pictures of the resort. They're already up there. There's a bunch of videos of us actually working out in what they call the Palapa. And the Palapa is right off the ocean. And the breeze comes through there in the afternoon, and because it's all open. It's amazing. And you can see us working out there, hanging out. And, you know, we party. Every night we party. The goal, because I had us on, you know, if you want to do it, we do the gluten-free and dairy-free, you know, diet that we're down there. And it's, you know, everything is amazing. And my goal was, as much as we were eating and drinking, that we didn't, no, nobody gained more than 2 or 3 pounds. And actually, everybody lost weight. You know, Jimbo, I mean, Jason, everybody, you know, lost weight. You can see pictures up there. Everybody's having a great time. And, you know, you don't have to make all the workouts, but if you want to, they're all there for you. So we're going to have a baking and cooking class one of the days. We're going to have a double workout on one of the days. We'll be working out from the first night we get in there on Friday night. We get a good workout in, and then we go drink and party and eat. And one of the things I found out, when you go to these all-inclusive places, and this place is amazing. The food is really, really great. They give you small portions. But if you order, I want 5 of those, they bring you 5 of them. So that's how you get around the small portions. It took us a couple of days to figure that out. But after I figured it out, I was totally on top of what was happening there. So that's what we got going. You can go see you can catch that Fat, Sick, and Almost Dead movie. You can maybe get the Wheat Belly book. You can check out the DDP Yoga Extravaganza, the Retreat Extravaganza. And it'll be on from July 26th to July 30th. And now I want to bring on a buddy of mine who I met quite a few years ago, and he was a very young man trying to get his break in professional wrestling. He absolutely paid his dues on the independent scene. And from there, I got him to come into WCW. He was a hell of a worker. Me and him had some good matches during our career. One of my favorites is one of the diamond cutters he took. It was amazing, of course. but he's not just a really good worker in hand in the ring. He's also a therapist. Please welcome tonight Devin Crowbar Storm. How are you, bro?
Dallas, thank you so much for having me on. It's my pleasure to be on. And before we go any further, as I always love to do, let me not just this time thank you for allowing me to experience and achieve my dream of wrestling in a major company, something I never thought I'd be able to do, and which gave me a terrific head start in life. But even after that, through YRG and enabling me to take back the body and the ability that I had lost, And after that, opening my eyes to YRG, which then let me see another way to treat my patients in the clinic and see an alternative way to help them gain balance, strength, and flexibility. And lastly, for giving me the YRG, which is something that I do together with my wife, my son Nicholas, who's 4 years old, and now my daughter Mia, who's 2.5, and she's starting to do downward dog and stuff when she sees us doing it. So you've helped me on so many levels. You're incredible, and there's no way I could ever thank you enough, and thanks for having me on before we do anything. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And there's a lot of people, you know, a lot of people do forget, and you are one of those guys who never have, you know, and that's cool, man. I appreciate
never.
That. All right, so let's talk about your, you know, your wrestling career. For a couple of people that know who you are, you have a lot of people who listen to the show have no idea about wrestling, but they appreciate what we did in the ring. And so how old were you when you started?
I was actually 17 years old. At age 16, I found out that there was a pro wrestling school opening up in Brick, New Jersey. And I lived up in Rutherford, New Jersey at the time. That's about an hour 15, hour and a half away. And I had always been a huge fan of wrestling. Still am. Admittedly, I'm with the biggest mark going still. I said, damn it, I have to do that. I always wanted to do it. I had no idea how to go about doing it. And I met somebody that knew Iron Mike Sharp, and he'd be opening a school in Brick Township, New Jersey. So I got a job at a catering hall as a busboy. I worked the entire summer, single shifts, double shifts, you name it. And I saved up the money to attend Iron Mike Sharp's wrestling school that with the following summer, which would be my junior year of high school.
That's amazing that you'd learn in Bricktown. I'm from Point Pleasant, which is the next town over.
Yes.
that's pretty funny. And Mike was a good guy to learn from, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was outstanding. And, you know, of course, at the very beginning, you're just awestruck. Mike's a huge guy. And Mike's not like your regular trainer. Like you go to the school and the trainer's there, maybe in sweats and like a T-shirt. Mike Sharp trained his students like he was going in for a match at the Garden. And I'm not even exaggerating here. Ask anybody that went to his school. I'm not exaggerating a lick. Mike would get on his black boots, his black tights, his black forearm band that he wore when he did TV. He would oil up and he would train the guys in his gear like he was going to do TV. And believe it or not, he had a bunch of young guys there, and he would put us through the ringer. Mike could go. Mike was he just didn't stop. And it was just a hell of an experience. It was at this little dinky place called the Promenade Shopping Plaza, little strip mall, low ceiling, and it had a ring that was maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet off the ring. But let me tell you, stepping through those ropes the first time, Dallas, was like the most incredible experience of my life at that time. Just getting in this broken, it was a functional ring, but it definitely wasn't the prettiest ring in the world. But at that time, it was, I'll never forget it. It's a flashbulb moment that I'll never forget, is stepping through the ropes the first time into a wrestling ring in Bricktown, New Jersey.
Well, let me ask you a question, because you had a good point there about, you know, what it takes to actually start off with this, and then the discipline to stick with it. It's just, but it doesn't matter if you're working out, it doesn't matter if you're eating, you know, trying to eat healthier. It takes discipline. It takes drive. It takes a goal. It takes focus to be able to achieve. I don't care what it is, any goal, but you've always got to know where you're going. You know, if you don't know where you're going, you don't know how you're going to get there. I mean, obviously. But for you, would you have been happy? This is an important question. Would you have been happy if you never got a shot at the show? If you only got to work independents, would you have still been happy?
I could say this without any reservation at all. I got involved. In the way, way, way far reaches of your mind, in the back of your brain, you say, maybe I can make it. It would be cool. But a few years prior, I had seen an independent show at Fairleigh Dickinson University in Rutherford. One of the first matches involved the Cheetah Kid, who went on to be Rocco Rock. And he was flying all over the place. And I was sold at that time on independent wrestling. And I said to myself, if that is as far as I got, I would be more than thrilled. Then you turn it up a few years later, you know, when I'm in WCW, granted, it was always in the far reaches of my mind, in the back of my mind, but never on a realistic level did I expect to gain a fraction or achieve a fraction of what I did. But, yes, if I had just done matches at Iron Mike Sharp School in front of 50 people, I would have been happy. And what I attained is, you know, far beyond the wildest dreams I've ever had.
Well, that's an important answer. And because anybody, and I've had thousands of kids, as you can imagine, who have come up to me, and kids and young adults, you know, I'm talking about 20s, early 30s, you know, just love the business so much. And I don't care what business it is. It could be rock and roll. It could be, you know, acting, you know, mainly entertainment type businesses, because everybody wants to be drawn to be putting on a show and being seen. And that's just like a drive I think we all have in, you know, wanting that, applause from the crowd or just attention in general. And when I would say, are you willing to, you know, sleep in your car and make $25 and drive 400 miles, you know, to make $50, and then you do the show and then the promoter stiffs you, you know, will you still keep going? You know,
yeah.
And they're like, what? You know, like, most people aren't going to be on TV like in a year or so.
Yeah, like, and it's not like that at all. That's not reality.
Exactly. My new question is, if you could only work independence, like we have a young man who had just got off the phone with me recently, and he's a very good friend of mine. I met him when he was 16 years old, and he really wanted to, he was like 292 pounds and, you know, 5'6", and he just wanted to lose that weight so he didn't feel like he was carrying around, you know, another body with him. And his mom contacted me through the site, and I got back to her, and he was like flipped out because he couldn't believe I got back to her. And we ended up talking, and we ended up actually, you know, working together, you know, over the phone. He did all the work and lost 100 pounds in 10 months. You know, it was amazing to watch the change he went through. But once he went through that, he never made it a lifestyle change. And, you know, he, you know, went back to his ways, and before you know it, he gained that weight back and more. But over that period, he actually wanted to be a wrestler so bad. And I explained to him, you know, dude, if you can be happy just doing independence, you know, and be happy with that, then I'll help you. Because, you know, at 5'6", 5'7", you know, there's just a small handful of Rey Mysterios, as you know. You
sure.
Know?
Absolutely.
And Rey Mysterio could have been an Olympic gold medalist in gymnastics if he would have done that, you know. I mean, he was going to be world champion at something. And it just happened to be wrestling, and it was, you know, that little – you know, I got to tell you this story. I actually was Meltzer, and anybody's wrestling, you know, they know who Meltzer is. He's the king of kayfabe when it comes to sheets and stuff. And he has a newsletter. And back before there was the internet, there was the newsletter that got circulated around, and people would buy, and fans would buy. And you'd learn from Dave Meltzer what was, you know, not completely true, but pretty close to being true. Like, how did he get that information? Mm-hmm. You know? But he had his own awards at the end of the year. In my rookie year, I came in second. I'm thinking, who is a better rookie this year than me? You know, how could I come in second in his voting? And then I look at him and say, who's Rey Mysterio? Oh, he was 14. I was 35.
That's amazing.
And Rey was 14. And of course, when I met him, I went, oh. No wonder you were the rookie of the year. but for Dylan, he you know, loves the business. And I'm hoping he's going to call in tonight. He had an announcement he wanted to make because, you know, he's back on track now, and I'm really proud of him for how he's taking control. So your career, you start off, you're working at Sharp. You obviously do some independence. How do you get – because I remember you call me, and I'd say – because I wasn't – you know, I helped some different people. I'd see what you had. I needed to see a little bit more. And I'd say, call me in 3 months, and boom, you'd call me in 3 months.
Boom, yeah. I had been down there for some nightly shots. I was brought down for Nitro, I guess, or run a time when they brought a few weeks or maybe a month or two after they had Sabu on there. And I guess I had made some waves on the independent through Meltzer, they heard about me. I know Kevin Sullivan contacted Tony Rumble and said, who's this Devin Storm guy that's doing matches with Sabu? I hear he does some wild stuff. So they brought me down on a nightly. I did some stuff. I was at that time going to college and physical therapy school. They brought me back for some more nightlies where I was just basically being an enhancement talent, but getting some moves in here or there. And I never forget what you told me. One Nitro, you said, you know, you do some good stuff. You got a lot of desire, but if you don't get out of here right now, you'll never get out of, you know, at that time they had a lot of enhancement matches. You really don't see them that much now. You said, but if you don't get out now, you'll never get out of that typecast enhancement role. You said, go get your education, finish your school, get your degree, get your future set. And when you're done, send me a tape and get in shape, and I'll see what I can do. And that's exactly what I did. Exactly. I had heard that advice before, and then you just gave it to me again. And to this day, that's the same advice that I give these guys at independent shows. I do a lot of shows around here. I work 60 hours a week. I like being a dad. I love being a husband. So I'll do a lot of shows close to home, 10, 15 minutes away. Sometimes it's a wrestling school show where there's not even any pay involved. But I'll go just to get the workout in, and I'll get all these guys saying, what do I have to do to make it? The first thing I say is, what else are you doing besides pro wrestling? And some people look at me like a deer in the headlights, like, what do you mean? I said, well, it's really not the most secure business in the world. It's not the most dependable. And I go, and I made it. For 3 years, I was with WCW for 3 years. But when it was over, I still had to find a way to support myself. There is right. No way on earth that you could support yourself. Nevertheless, a wife and kids and a mortgage and a home on an independent wrestler's salary. You got to have something else to fall back upon or another plan. And, you know, that's something that you drove home to me backstage at Nitro years ago, and I'm still carrying that out now, letting these kids know that, you know, it's great to have the desire. It's great to have the drive. I had that same drive, but thank God I had something else. Otherwise, right now, I'd be screwed.
And the something else is the awesome part of what we're talking about here, because you went to school to be a physical therapist, right?
Yes.
Why did you pick that of all things?
My freshman year of high school, I tore my left ACL. My junior year, I tore my right ACL. Went through a lot of therapy. At the time, it was pretty devastating because I loved playing football. I had to miss some games. I had to miss some sports. I loved throwing a shot put. I couldn't do the glide anymore to throw the shot put because my knees were blown out. At that time, rehab for an ACL was like 14 to 15 months if you had it repaired. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to take that much time off. So I did physical therapy. I braced them. And I was exposed to the physical therapy world. And it sounds hokey, but I always believe God steers you where he wants you to go. And over time and time again in my life, this has happened. God is my witness on so many levels between my knees, meeting my wife, yada, yada, yada. I love Seinfeld, so I'll use that reference a lot. But in hindsight, it was the biggest blessing because had I not gotten hurt, I would never have been exposed to it, and I wouldn't have the life I have right now. So blowing out both knees, playing football, probably the best thing that had ever happened to me professionally.
Oh, that's called taking a negative and turning it into a positive.
Which is always one of your sayings. And believe it or not, this sounds hokey. I'm not just saying it because it's your show. I live by that. I live by that, and I know you always used to say it. And no bullshit. I live by it. I think of you when I think of it. And it's, you know, like I said, it's not just me blowing smoke here. You've helped me and helped me in my life on so many levels, there's more we could get into, but, you know, just thank you again. And I'm sorry for the quick pause, but you have no idea, bro. You have no idea.
Oh, I do, and it's cool, bro. The thing I want to talk about, like physical therapy, you know, actually Chris Kanyon. Now, there was a guy, you know, and I got to talk about Jericho just He just texted me last night because I love the promo he cut, and I sent him a text saying how awesome promo and wannabes, and just laughed on it. And he sent me back a text, and then he mentioned Chris's book, and that Robert, you had a huge hand in getting out there. He said that that Canyon's book was heartbreaking, but really interesting, a really, really good read. And he was enjoying the read, felt bad about Chris. But, you know, just segue a second into Robert. I mean, you had a lot to do with that book being published and stuff. What exactly went down? Because the book wasn't finished when Chris passed, right?
It was about probably about 90% where it was published at. We started it probably about 4 years before he died. I was handling his MySpace, and you know Jim Nielsen, that from Kentucky University, you talked to him the other night?
Right, yep.
One of his guys was at that speech that Chris had there, and he's an author, so he contacted me at Chris's MySpace, and we put a deal together. And I put the deal together because at the time, Chris was in a halfway house, so right. He couldn't talk to anybody. So that book, that never happened, and the book sat on the shelf for about 3 years. And after he died, I called the author and told him that we needed to put it together. So we busted our asses for about a year or so and finally got it done.
And what is it called?
You know what? I've got it sitting right here.
Yeah, well, look at the damn title. God, you don't get to produce the damn thing.
It's the longest title. It's Wrestling Reality, The Life and Time, Life and Times of Chris Canyon, Wrestling's Gay Superstar.
Which, by the way, I never thought he, it was funny because Kim goes, Canyon's gay? She goes, my gaydar is pretty good. She goes, I never caught that. And so he wanted to keep it under wraps, obviously, until it came out. And everybody's like, hey, Chris, good. I think he thought everybody was going to go, oh, my God, you're kidding. It's like, no. and Helms was really close to him too, you know, and he was like, okay, yeah, okay, it's good, you know, because you didn't talk about broads, you know, to Helms, you know, Gregory, who we had on the guest a couple weeks back, and he was great on here. And speaking of that, I want to segue with my ADD. We just started an iTunes podcast, so anybody can go back and listen to the interviews with Jericho, RVD's on there, Mark Merrow, Glacier, Helms. We got a lot of the guys who've come through, and now we're going to start, you know, putting our casts up there when we get done with this, so people can go and listen to whatever they want. But
We're doing segues, man, we're talking about wrestling and physical therapy, so this would probably be the best time to bring on our resident guru, Yoga Docs, on the line.
Oh, no kidding. Awesome. Yoga Doc, how are you, man?
What's up? What's up, people? How you doing? Can you hear me, bro?
I can hear you great, man. Good to have you come by.
I got the deal. Yeah, I heard some really cool stuff. I just caught the email, and we didn't have a rehearsal tonight, so I just wanted to jump on and say hello. I'm just listening. It's great stuff.
Anybody who's in the Atlanta area and wants to hear some great rock and roll, about 3.5 years ago, Doc started, Yoga Doc, the Dr. Craig Aaron, he started doing what would you call that, live band karaoke, Doc?
Well, yeah, I mean, we were just going down and singing a little bit. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what I wanted to do. It's like, wow, I used to sing 20 years ago. That was fun. I better try that now before I get too old to do it, right?
And he put together a band that's just amazing, man. Somebody actually put with that, Dee Snider and the Motley Crue. It's really good, man.
And we do a lot of rock tributes. It's a lot of fun. We got two bands. One is Iron Mullet, and the other one, of course, is near and dear to my heart, is Sciatica. So, physical therapist would like that. I figure you'd like that.
Yes, and as quick aside, my son informed me about a week and a half ago that next year for a Halloween that he wants to be Diamond Dallas Page, and I have to be the Yoga Doc.
Oh, get out of town.
I texted Dallas and I told him, Dallas isn't going to believe this shit, but yeah, it came right from his lips. He loves the videos, around Christmas time when we would say Santa Claus, he would say Santa Cruz from the first tape. he's just a big fan of both of you guys. And I have to be you for Halloween unless something changes before October the 31st.
Jeez Louise. Oh, man. That's great. You guys, just great stories, guys. You know, you talk about playing independence and doing the independent thing. Yeah, that's all I do with the music right now. It's all independence.
And you got to love it. Yeah, you got to love it, you know, no matter what it is. All right, Doc, thanks for coming by, man.
Absolutely.
Awesome getting to talk
hello.
To the yoga doc. It's awesome.
Oh, shoot, Crowbar, man. It's great. It's great meeting you, too. Hopefully, I'd love to meet you as well, for real. I have a
that
feeling we'll all
would be
work.
Awesome.
We'll
that
all
would
be
definitely
around.
Be awesome.
Yeah, man.
So,
excellent.
On that segue, you know, Doc, thanks for coming in. You know, you look at anybody who's listening. Do you want to say something, Doc?
No.
Catch
no,
off? Okay, I thought I raised your eyes.
I'm just eating dinner.
Okay, keep eating. When it comes to, like, you've heard about people are listening, you know, the positive attitude that that Devin Crowbar Storm has his wrestling name, but his real name's Chris, don't like Chris Canyon. But that's when you take a positive or negative and turn it into positive. And you can either, literally embrace the positivity or you can embrace the negativity. And that's what, you know, our other physical therapist who was a professional wrestler did. You know, Chris Canyon, you know, he embraced the negative and he eventually killed himself. I mean, he tried a number of times. You know, and I tried to talk him out of it, but when someone wants to kill themselves, they're going to kill themselves. And when I heard that he had done it, I was bummed, but I wasn't surprised. So, just the point of if you're having problems, if you're pulling yourself down with, negative energy, do whatever you can to turn it around. That's the biggest reason that I'm getting a lot of feedback here. That's the biggest reason why I developed Team DDP Yoga, because we have such an awesome group of people. And Sparky, you haven't said much today here. He's popping in here again. You're a guy who, turned his entire attitude and lifestyle around and went, a complete 180. How did you do that?
It took a while looking at some things and trying to get into it, because I'd been looking at programs and different exercise things for a long time. And, looking at that first picture, if anybody looks at the look on my face, I look like the most miserable son of a bitch on the face of the planet. But it was right about the time I had my first boy. And one of the things that sticks out for me is I was just walking up the hill of my parents' backyard and, holding his hand. And this hill is nothing. I was out of breath at the time I was at the top of it. And I'm thinking to myself, if that's me to my son, he's got no father already. And that's sort of one of the things that kind of propelled me to do it. And, and then you start noticing the other things. Like I said, I couldn't pull my foot up on my knee to pull my sock on in the morning, this and that. And so I just needed to be a better person. And I hopped in here and you talk about the power of Team DDP Yoga and, talk about people who have problems, and I met some people who try to motivate me and push me over, and Robert and Doug immediately took an interest, and to this day, sometimes after the show he'll give me a call, and I know it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to him, and he'll sit and we'll talk for maybe 2 hours, just to see what's going on, catch up, and sort of push each other. To the next limit, to the next goal. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and you talk about positive energy. And for any of you who've gone by Team DDP Yoga, you eventually will get that welcome from Doug Steffen, and I call him the monster motivator. Of course, Robert's laughing because I called him, he's an awesome cheerleader there. And then Robert took some cheerleader with big boobs and stuck Doug's head on the top of it with pigtails. He hates that, but it was funny, boy. He reminds me of me back in the days when Austin Stone Cold and was just stunning back then. Stunning Steve Austin and Cactus Jack, Mick Foley, one and the same. They used to rib me so hard, and I would sell it just like Doug. And I learned the quickest way to not get ribbed is not to sell anything, because then they get bored. Well, you're not. How could you not sell that, right? Right. How could you not sell that? I'm not selling anything. Hey, that was great job. But you live and you learn. So let's go back to your therapy, physical therapist. Now, do you have your own place? Like, where are you?
I have my own place in Rutherford, New Jersey.
Awesome.
And like I said, I implement yoga with many of my patients, different populations of patients in different ways. You know, the first population I would like to discuss is kind of what I would describe myself as when DDP Yoga gave me back my body and ability. And these are the weekend warriors.
Right.
You generally categorize these patients, people in maybe the late 20s, 30s, or 40s, they're not regularly athletic. They work all week. They do the mommy or daddy thing. They go out on the weekend and they try an activity that they don't usually do, and they end up getting
hurt. Right.
At one time or another, they may have done a particular sport or activity, but because they're not regularly doing that activity, their bodies kind of forget that motor plan, and the body has a hard time recalling it, but they try to force it and do it anyway, and they end up getting hurt. Now, most people think of a weekend warrior as the out-of-shape guy with the sports goggles, the headband, the jacked-up tube socks, and that's not always the case either. You know, there are weekend warriors out there that work out regularly. They do weights maybe. They do some cardio on a bike, a treadmill, or an elliptical. Maybe do some stretching, but probably not. But then they'll go out there on a weekend, and they'll try to attempt a skilled athletic game or activity without really preparing for it. That's who I became. I became that weekend warrior. And how I got there was I worked out with weights regularly. I did my cardio. But I went from wrestling two or three times a week, 4 weeks a month, doing flips, jumping, really tearing it up, working too hard, as a lot of the boys would say, Dallas. But I went from that to wrestling once every 6 weeks or so. My schedule took over. Sometimes a show would have a bad turnout, so you're not as motivated, or I'd wrestle a guy who really didn't want to do much and I'd take it easy. So I was no longer performing those flips, those jumps, those leaps, those landings on a regular basis. And that went on for a few years. Then I had a huge wake-up call, and I was working a match with my old partner, Ace Darling, who's just an incredible worker. He's one guy that we broke in with that never made it but really should have. This guy was the epitome of he could have a good match with a broomstick. This guy was doing great. But in the past, whenever we would wrestle each other, we'd really tear it up. So we got together again, and we said, hey, let's tear it up again. Let's have a good time. And I got out there, and this is after being on that schedule once every 6 weeks, going through a match. Maybe maybe the other guy didn't want to work too hard, or the ring was bad, as a lot of the rings on the independents are, or the turnout was bad. So you're doing just a good, solid match, but nothing out of the ordinary. So we got in the ring, and I had all intentions of tearing it up just like I used to. I felt sluggish as hell. I just couldn't do the moves I used to be able to do. And these were moves that I would previously be able to do effortlessly without thought. And then the next wake-up call in the same match, I tried climbing to the top rope to do a splash. I got up there. I got my right leg up. And then I went to put my left leg on the top rope, Dallas, and I couldn't get my freaking leg up there. I was pulling, I'm like, oh, my God. I go, what happened? I couldn't get my leg up there. And I'm thinking right there, what happened? I had become so tight. I had lost so much flexibility. And you know me. I wrestle because I love it. I enjoy myself. At this stage of the game, I do my physical therapy. That's my main thing. Wrestling is fun. It keeps me young. It's enjoyable. And people always ask me, when are you going to stop? You know, I have my mom asking me, when are you going to stop? You have a good job. Why are you doing this crap? And and I go, when are you just going to be a daddy, a husband, and just do your wrestling? And I always say I'll stop doing it when it stops being fun and when it stops being something that I enjoy. That night after that match, I was so depressed. I felt old. I felt like an old man, broken down. And for the first time, I actually really contemplated hanging it up and saying, you know, this match was so depressing. I don't know what's happened to me. I just couldn't go, and I got to hang it up. And I really that night debated saying, this got to be it because I just can't do it. I got home. I was sore. I was very stiff the next day. And it's like my body forgot how to do what it had once done. And I knew I had to get back in shape. In the past, when I was single and being a pro wrestler was my regular job, I could get into shape in a month or 2 months. I could really get down to it and, you know, do it effortlessly. Now I was like 35, which once again, you were an inspiration to me. I go, hey, Dallas didn't get going until he was 35. But I was married. I had two kids. I was working 60-plus hours a week at my place. I was still weightlifting in the gym. I was doing a little cardio here or there. I wasn't good everyday regular guy shape, better than average. Like if I went to my high school reunion, I would still be the best in-shape guy. But I couldn't do what I wanted to do in the ring. And I had to find a way to get in that shape again on my very limited schedule. So right there, that's a big problem to solve. You know, time-wise, I want to be a good husband. I want to be a present father. I love my kids. I mean, the daddy thing is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I love it, so I don't want to sacrifice that. I have to take care of my facility, and I had to find a way to do this. So I look at the whole problem. Okay, I could lose a few pounds here. I'm maintaining my mass, you know, at the gym and all, but that's not translating into athletic ability in the ring. I got in there, and I was just thinking about how I felt. I go, you were sluggish. I was like, you sucked. I mean, compared to what I used to be able to do, I was so disappointed. I was disgusted. So I had to find a way to not only look better, I needed to find a way to regain flexibility. And more than anything else, I needed a way to have my body remember how to do those things. With motor learning is one of the things we do in physical therapy. You know, you've heard the saying, it's like riding a bike. You learn how to ride a bike, you always know how to do it. If you haven't ridden a bike in 10, 15 years and you hop on a bike, you might be able to do it, but it's not quite like it was when you rode it 10, 15 years ago. The motor plan is locked in your central nervous system somewhere, but your body has to recall it. And for me, only wrestling once every 6 weeks or so in a half-ass match here or there, and outside of the gym and a little recumbent bike being somewhat sedentary, my body had forgotten that, and I had to find a way to continue to train with weights. I had to do a little cardio. I had to get flexible, and I had to gain some balance, and I had to turn on all those motor plans that were there before, all in my extremely limited schedule. So, YRG, boom. I started doing your plan, and I still train with weights, but 3-4 days a week. I started with the 20-minute workout. I eventually advanced to the cardio, and just in runner's lunge, warrior one or two, I was falling over. I was losing my balance. And you know me from the ring before. I used to love to run, jump, flip. I had great balance, great flexibility, great athletic ability, and it had disappeared by doing the YRG. I describe it to my patients now as when you're trying to rediscover that motor plan, your body hasn't used it in a while. It's like going down walking down to your basement, going to the fuse box, and start flipping on fuses that have been turned off. Your body hasn't used it. It's still there. It knows how to do it, but it has to be turned on again. Right. And I started doing the YRG, and that instead of breaking my regimens up into weights, cardio, flexibility, I call that aspect motor planning or neuromuscular re-education. I got neuromuscular re-education, I got flexibility, I got cardio all in the same thing. So on my schedule, that really helped out a lot. And on top of it, my wife saw me doing it. She loved it. And now we had something else that we could do as a couple. So I didn't have to leave and disappear to go work out. We would do YRG together. You know, so that was just a tremendous part of getting my body back in shape and having it remember how to do those things again.
Well, let me ask you this. So you started with it, because this is an important point, because, you know, I know you started it with it years before, and then you stopped. And then you started to lose your balance and stuff, and especially when you beat up your body. And that's one of the reasons why I say that this workout, whether it's DDP yoga, or I should say whether it's YRG or it's DDP Extreme, because they're both under the DDP yoga umbrella, it's all about balance. And the first thing that you lose, especially when you beat your body up, is balance.
Yep.
And as you get older, the first thing you lose is balance. So this is literally the fountain of youth when it comes down to finding that stream of balance.
Sure, and you know what it's like, too. If you're on the road going constantly, you get sore, but once you're doing it often, your body kind of gets into that swing. If you stop for a while and you go do a match, even if you do minimal stuff, you're dead the next day because your body hasn't done it, you know?
Exactly. And you know, the only things I want to mention, too, you said earlier, you talked about you know, the weekend warrior. And a lot of people, you know, especially when they get to their mid-30s, you know, they start to think, well, I'm going to ski so to stay in shape, or I'm going to, you know, I play basketball to stay in shape. It's like, listen, if you're over 32, 35 years old, you need to get in shape.
You need to prepare to play. Those are activities that require core stability. They require balance. You're going to do a layup, you're going up on one leg, you're landing. If your balance is off, you're exponentially increasing your likelihood of hurting yourself. And just doing cardio on a bike is not going to prepare you for it. Just doing weights in the gym is not going to prepare for it. Those things are all great, and I still do those things depending on what mood I'm in. But what's great about YRG is that it's a total body workout. It does a lot of closed chain exercises where you're holding a static pose, a static lunge. For example, your muscles know how to fire. If they didn't know how to fire, you wouldn't be walking around.
Right.
When stuff shuts off, they just don't know how to fire optimally and in sync with the other muscles. Everything's made to work together, and the best way to describe it, the way that I see it in a layperson's terms, is that they're still firing, they're just not firing in sync, and they're not working well together. They're doing enough to get you around from point A to point B, to go buy your groceries at the store, to go drive your car to go get gas, but if you try to turn it up and make those muscles do a higher level activity, you're asking for trouble. You're asking to get hurt because you don't have the flexibility. You don't have the motor plan. You don't have that neuromuscular motor plan ready to go. And that's why we see so many of these weekend warrior types.
Absolutely. And, you know, it could come just from just running. I mean, it could be literally, you know, you're playing and all of a sudden, you know, you start running after somebody or whatever. It's, oh, God, you know, you pull something or whatever. So it's all about keeping that that flexibility, that movement, and then breaking up scar tissue, which I'm sure you went through right away.
Absolutely.
When you started. Because rest never sleeps.
Yeah, and then there's other stuff, too. I mean, like, I've actually used it with great success with the knee arthritis patients. There's two classifications of knee arthritis patients in my eyes, because I have knee arthritis from tearing my ACLs way back. I never had them repaired. As a result, I had a lot of joint play, and I've ground my joints up. I really credit a lot of my success in the ring right now not to, I'm doing independent shows and stuff like that, but as far as being able to do it, to YRG, and I also am a big fan of Synvisc for the knees. I go for the injections.
Right. What do you use?
Synvisc. It's basically the mohawks of a chicken or a rooster. They grind them up, they make a gel, and they inject them into your knee joint, and it gives a cushion. It's fantastic. I go every year happily for them, and it's greatly increased my function.
Let me ask you this, Chris. Do you have to take 5 weeks in a row of doing them? Is that the program that it is?
No, it's previously it was 3 injections. You would go 3 in a row. Now, Genzyme has come out with Synvisc 1, where they just give you it all in one shot. Boom.
Really?
Yeah, and it's not even classified. You're getting an injection, but it's not even classified as a medication. It's classified more as a device, because they're injecting the substance into your knee, which makes the fluid more viscous, and I'm a huge believer in it. In rehab, most of the time people think Synvisc is for the elderly, patient that's trying to avoid getting their knee replaced. They go for the Synvisc. They've been not very active for years. They get the Synvisc. They might get minimal relief, but they end up getting the knee replacement. In all reality, you don't just get knee arthritis. You have it for a while, and as a result of that, you progressively decrease your activity because you're in pain, especially if you're not up on fitness and flexibility and maintaining your range of motion. You stop doing stuff because it hurts. As a result of that, your muscles atrophy, and you get the whole slew of problems that go with that. These patients get their Synvisc generally. They get a month of physical therapy. They do okay, but they end up getting a knee replacement. When you know from training, and I know from training with weights, if you're not moving around for 3-4 years so good, you're not going to gain it back in a month. You know what I mean?
No way.
But I actually use a lot of yoga static poses with these patients, the elderly ones first, because some of them are off balance, so I can't have them do a whole yoga program. We're talking about somebody in their 70s or 80s, but they do lack balance. I have some stats for you here. I mean, I'm a big believer in some static yoga poses with the elderly. You know, they can really benefit from balance and overall core stability. Lack of balance and falls can literally steal independence and quality of life from this population. And, and as I said, while the majority of this population can't do an entire yoga routine, some of the poses can greatly benefit them by increasing their balance, stability, and flexibility. Here's an outstanding stat here. I mean, this actually have it in front of me right now. The National Center for Patient Safety, right? If a patient falls and sustains a hip fracture, they fall and they break their hip. In 1 year, 20 to 30% of those patients will die.
Really?
They fall. If you break your hip, you have a 20 to 30% chance in 1 year being dead. And you can look it up anywhere. It's a straight fact. And if you don't break your hip and say you hit your head and sustain some kind of brain injury, less than 45% of those patients will ever go home again. They'll end up in a long-term care facility or nursing home or something like that. So, I mean, balance and falls while walking are a huge problem. And I use a lot of static poses. For example, I'll belt the patient. They'll have a gait belt on them, which means I put a belt around their waist. You can't just tell grandpa, go up there and do this pose, and if you fall over, just get back up, because he might break something. So you have to get up there and guard him. But I use Warrior 1, Warrior 2, Superstar for some of the patients that have the knee flexion and can do it. It's fantastic. And I was doing the stand-up routine the other day. I used this standing up on toes for prolonged periods of time to hold the balance. I do it on a flat floor. And as they get better. I actually use a device called an AirX. It's a squishy mat, and it kind of gives the body a different input than just a flat floor. It actually gives them more kind of a unsteady surface. It challenges their balance more.
Sure.
And, you know, these patients do great with it. It really improves their quality of life. And if they don't fall, they feel more confident, and they're more apt to go out, be active. And you're actually giving this person back their quality of life. You know, it's a huge thing. And there have always been gold standards in physical therapy for balance, you know, this thing, that thing, whatever. I had never prior thought to do yoga poses, YRG, or anything like that. It was through doing YRG to help myself that I said, oh, shit, this stuff would really come in handy helping these people out. They can't do the whole routine, but these certain positions – are fantastic. And, you know, honestly, if you look at that stat, 20 to 30%, you improve a patient's balance, you could literally save their life. So it's really a huge deal. With arthritis, you also have your younger patients, which are like myself.
Me too.
Yeah. I generally, with my arthritis patients, would do open chain exercise, which means, you know, leg extension, leg curl, abduction and adduction machine, and the machine where you're not grinding up your knees, which you would usually do squat, in a lunge, in a leg press, stuff like that. But then there's a catch-22. In order to keep wrestling like I want to, I need to be able to squat. I need to be able to jump. I need to be able to squat down and then explode. So I do need to be strong in that position. I do need those muscles to know how to work together, how to fire together to enable me to do what I got to do. I got great results when I started doing the whole catcher, reach and rise, thunderbolt,
right,
back
right,
down
right,
again.
Right.
And the difference there is you're using your body weight and you're in a static position up and down with some motion up and down. If you do five exercises, say you do four different exercises, three sets of 10 with weight on your back, squat, leg press, weighted lunge, what have you, twice a week, you're looking at 240 repetitions, your legs going up and down, grinding the hell out of your joint there. You're doing the catcher, reach rise, thunderbolt, and I did the stand disc, and I saw a lightning bolt, and I was a big fan of that, too. You're looking at a static position. You're not going up and down. You're not grinding up your joint. Yet, you're strengthening those muscles in a squat position. You're teaching those muscles how to fire in a squat position. So someone like myself, I have arthritis. I know it, but I want to keep going. And later on, I'll probably need a knee replacement down the line. I accept that. But I want to be able to functionally participate in the athletic activity that I decide to do. It's been fantastic. And I actually did an independent show this weekend. They're supposed to be doing a documentary on it, and you've been to these shows, Dallas. These guys, they just stand around. They don't do anything. I'm 37 now. I'll be 38 in March. My going to a show consists now of my ring gear, in-ring bag, boots, tape, whatever, what have you. I now have a yoga mat. And
right.
The entire time before my match, I'm doing a lot of catcher, reach and rise, thunderbolt, lightning bolt. I'm doing a lot of the chop position, broken table. I'm warming everything up, and I go out there, and I feel like I'm 25 again. I'm still 25 in my mind. When I get to the show, I feel about 60. By the time I warm up with YRG, my body's right where my mind's at. So it's been huge.
So one of the things that you're just talking about there, and we're going to wind up here because we've gone all our time, but it's been so good I wanted to keep it going because a lot of good information you've given here. And also back up what we're saying, you know, as far as, you know, breaking up scar tissue. You know, like when I first go in, you know, when I go into that squat and drop and drop in the catcher, my knees are like, what the hell are you doing? Every time I start it. But once
initially, the first
time,
couple, yep.
Yeah, but it's got to, you're pushing that fluid. This is what people need to understand. There's a difference between uncomfortable and pain. And pain, if you're over 35, pain means pain. So back off. But if you're uncomfortable, sometimes you just got to breathe through it and break up the scar tissue. And, like, every morning I go through it. But every time I get to that third one, I know. I go, okay, knees are feeling back again. Back's feeling better. I'm doing a couple of new things. And, Chris, you should definitely hop on that the one I'm going to do here next week, the live show that I'm going to do with the Ustream, because I do so much new stuff, and I'm always adding something different to it. And a lot of it has to do because my body goes, I want you to stretch like that while your heart rate's already jacked up so I can be in that cardiovascular, you know, beating all that fat off, you know, working your cardiovascular routine. But all I'm doing is stretching. Yeah, but it's how I got you there, you know, and I come up with a couple new ones that I'm like, wow, this really opens up the lower part of my back of my hamstrings, knees, and, you know, I think you gave a great insight for a lot of people who are listening and stuff, and we should have went to questions, but God, we just kept talking.
I'm sorry. And my opinion, real quick here, if you're a relatively healthy person, I think doing this on a regular basis will definitely prevent a lot of arthritis. Well, with arthritis, we're all going to get it in some way, shape, or form. But if you stay mobile, you stay flexible, you keep the muscles firing, you're just going to have so much better quality of life. You're going to avoid a lot of things that come along with the arthritis. And it's just, your program is a game changer. I've seen other yogas. Yours is entertaining as hell. I love it. Two Christmases ago, my entire staff got it from me. I said, go do this freaking thing. You've changed. You've given me my wrestling body back and my ability to do what I want to do in the ring. I'm able to climb the rope with no problem now, by the way. And you've actually changed the way I think about treating my patients. And it's been for the better. They feel it, and I see the results in the patients. And I can say that without any reservation or anything like that. You're a game changer in every way.
Well, thank you, brother. And, I want to send this home, too, that so people understand that. You knew it, you did it, but then you stopped. And when you stop, Neil Young said it best, rust never sleeps. And this is, TDP Yoga, you know, the YRG, the extreme, it's something you can do the rest of your life. And the one thing I've really found is amazing, I'm 55 now, you know, it's the year of the diamond cutter, and it blows my mind how I keep getting stronger. I keep getting deeper. Like every month something happens. I go, I couldn't do that before. I mean, I blew my buddy Marlon's mind. He was here earlier today, and the lotus position where you stick one foot on top of the other, there's no way I couldn't even fold my knees. But I tell you what, because I have come up with a way to break up scar tissue, and I do it, and I feature it in the DDP Extreme workouts because there's a whole thing for back, knee, and hip openers of how to break up that scar tissue to get into there. Today was like, you know, the first time I'd actually worked myself around showing my buddy Marlon where I could go and crossing my legs, and I'm so close. It's a big lift when you're trying to put that leg on top, that foot on top of your leg with your other leg already bound in there. I mean, for someone who's really flexible in their knees and have great knees, it's no big deal. But when you've got our knees.
Oh, forget about it.
It's a whole other animal. Well, listen, Chris, thanks for coming by so much. I appreciate you coming by. And
Thank you so much for having me on. It was my pleasure. And thank you for everything you've done for me, my family, and my patients as well.
Well, thank you, brother. And Sparky, thanks for coming on tonight, man, and hanging with us. We miss Stacy, but I'm sure we'll have her back next week. And anybody who is listening, next week we will have the one and only Taz on to be with us, who's another guy who's doing DDP yoga and living it, you know, which is very cool. I want to remind everybody that if you could please go to the Facebook like section of DDP DDP Yoga Retreat Extravaganza and like the page. We're trying to get people over there to check that out. Our retreat is going to be on from July 26th to the 30th. We'll be bringing up next week. We'll have some more details on that, and then we'll fill you in as we move forward on the whole extravaganza. Robert, thanks for hanging with us tonight and keeping us going. Everyone, have a great night. It's been your pleasure. See ya.
There we go.